Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this January the 26th on the West Coast, and now January the 27th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd also like to welcome those who may be listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, and certainly we want you to know that our prayers for those in Australia are continuing due to the drastic and devastating flooding that's going on there. Of course, you hear nothing about that in the mainstream media. One wonders why. We have a great guest for us tonight. Before we bring him on, though, I'm going to segue into a song written by and performed by a very excellent writer, composer, arranger, producer, and performer, Brian McKnight. This is O Lord. Thank you. That was, oh Lord, Brian McKnight saying a prayer for us. And it's kind of interesting that musicians find a way to put prayer in song and really put all the emotion and all the feeling that one is exuding when one earnestly says a prayer to the Creator. And tonight's guest is an expert on that and the psychological issues, including the illusions and the metaphysics behind the human spirit. He's authored a number of books that we've discussed on the show, God, Science, and the Secret Doctrine, Psychological Illusions. More recently, we've been talking about Beelzebub's tale to his grandson, and I invite back author, metaphysician extraordinaire, and BBSRadio.com talk show host of the show Zero Point, my good friend Christopher Holmes, PhD. Christopher, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Don. I've been enjoying your show lately, as usual, and pleasure to be back with you again.
Well, it's nice to have you back. You know, there seems to be a lot of turmoil going on. That's an understatement. But there's a lot of psychological and spiritual chaos that's resulting out of what's going on the physical and mental planes. Do you agree with that? And would you like
there's so much happening in the world, and I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. But we need something. We need some crack in this fortress, you know, what's being done to us worldwide. And I mean, there's only hope in the people waking up and rebelling around the world in different ways to face this monster. I feel overwhelmed by it all at times.
Yes, I have a lot of friends that are feeling that, and even I occasionally can feel the pressure. There's a darkness. There's a pallor over everything. You know, things used to be very bright on this planet. Certainly from space, they say that if you could see the Earth, it's diminished dramatically in its intensity of the amount of light that it gives off that can be seen in space. And so you can imagine when you can see the difference right here on the planet, what that might look like and what that indicates.
Yeah, I wonder if it in part indicates how many tons, 300 million tons of aluminum and poisons that they've sprayed into the atmosphere. I'm sure that must detract from the color of the planet, the purity of it. It's like it's so hard even to get a blue sky anymore. Instead, it's this kind of silver gray so often.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever contemplate what it might look like to see some 7 billion souls and the light that they give off, and how the life force is being crushed and sucked out of people? I mean, I've encountered this on a regular basis with people that I'm talking to or people that I'm communicating with. You can see that there's a negative impact on the physical and mental bodies because of all the attention that's put on them, you know, with all of these illusions that we talk about. I suppose it would be good to talk about illusions some more, just to remind folks. But, you know, I sort of asked a rhetorical question if you want to respond to that.
Well, I'm not sure what the question was, but I mean, I see now how we've been deceived, like, all the way through our lives, really, and we had no idea of what was really being done. And you know, we didn't realize, I didn't, that we were being socially engineered. And you just see how they degraded every aspect of our society, like educational system, publications, media, medicine and the pharmaceutical companies, like every aspect of human life, they've degraded whenever possible over the last centuries. And mm-hmm. we've lived through that. And I mean, I was never awake to any of it until about 4 years ago. And it's pretty shocking to wake up to all the deceits of what's been carried on for so long.
Well, you know, each of us in their own way has been awakened to something at some point in our lives. And I think most of us can look back to when we were children and we tried to do something very simple and we were reprimanded for attempting to do it and told not to do it. And often it was something, when you look back, that was quite harmless, probably would have allowed us to achieve some modicum of self-expression and self-realization as children, which would have only empowered us as adults. Well, the plan is to suppress us from birth. So it's quite evident to see that everything that's done to us is to keep us in line and to sort of herd us into the corral with the cattle and the sheep and the pigs and the other farm animals.
It's terrible, and you see now that a child, by the time is 4 years old in the States, they have something like 24 inoculations, and you know they're getting these poisons all the time into their bloodstream, and the food's been poisoned, and the water, and people, in a way, we've never known what life on this planet would have been like if we had evolved naturally, and we've grown up in this matrix, and I don't think many people were aware of it, but of course our numbers are growing exponentially now.
Mm-hmm. Of course, we've been sounding the alarm about drinking the regular tap water that's piped into one's home and public facilities and the dangers of fluoridation. And for years, we were told, although we can see through the lie, that fluorides prevent cavities. Now they're literally discussing this as of a couple of days ago, they have to reduce the amount of fluoride in the water because it's causing children's teeth to become splotchy and spotted.
fluorosis.
So, you know, it's a matter of appearance. It's not a matter of the poisoning. It's causing the brain and the damage it's doing to basic neurological functioning. So, you know, we still aren't hearing the truth about these things. But
I think it's so hard for normal people to imagine people so deviant and unscrupulous as these elitists who have perpetrated these crimes against humanity. Like, I've been reading different variations of the Protocols of Zion lately, and you mm-hmm. just see the kind of psychopathic, Machiavellian attitude in it, and the lack of respect for life or anything beyond oneself. And it's really quite eerie reading the Protocols of Zion. And if people aren't familiar with those, I'd encourage people to read them, because mm-hmm. almost every aspect of the protocols has reached fruition. I mean, I think we're down to crunch time. I don't think most people have a heart to some extent. You know, you kind of believe in justice and being fair to people. And at least most people I've known through my life have been like that. And I've not really been exposed to that psychopathic element. And I never realized that so much our nations have been hijacked by these criminal cabals. And, you know, you turn on the TV and it all looks so natural. You'd have no idea what was really going on. to realize the deception of the media and how the media has been owned by the elites for the past century. You know, this is such a major part of our problems. I imagine someday, imagine if those media were ever turned to telling the truth. I think for the first time in our life, it would be worthwhile tuning in and be learning all about the things which have been done to us and all the lies that have been perpetrated against us over the past decades.
They wouldn't have time for commercials. You know. Oh, well, you know, you
recently,
mentioned the
you know,
protocol.
I finished that piece on fabled airplanes, which was my analysis of the September Clues video series.
Oh, yeah, that's
a
great series.
That series dealt with the media coverage of 9/11. And I was shocked when I did that review of that film, and because my main interest had been whether or not there were any airplanes. And I approached the series from that vantage point, and I became convinced that there weren't any airplanes. But then further, when I researched that series, I realized that the evidence suggests that the mainstream media actually helped to stage that event with fake witnesses who were pre-scripted. Mm-hmm. And when you could hear the dialogue transpiring while the second plane hit the tower and such, that there were such obvious mistakes made in the transcripts. You could see the whole thing was staged.
And
to realize that those networks, so five networks had live coverage because everybody else was knocked off the air. They were all pre-scripted, and it was coordinated between them. It just shows the criminality, really, of the media. And that was shocking to me. You know, it was one thing that they cover up all these crimes, but to really realize, oh, no, they actually helped to stage it. And when major events happen, they're already pre-scripted, and they all have their fake experts from all the Rockefeller think tanks. They parade them out on cue, and they, you know, they tell their lies. You know, they convince the American people that it's a good plan to give $10 trillion to offshore bankers so they can impoverish you for the next century. And it makes it all sound so reasonable, and that your politicians are serving you. It's such a farce, but they're masterful, the media. Like, people say the media don't do their job, and I think the problem is people don't realize what their job has been, because their job hasn't been to inform us. Their job has been to intentionally deceive us about all the crimes being committed by the elites around the world. Mm-hmm. And they've done a masterful job on that.
Now, if you listen to the broadcasts, and there are plenty of recordings of what happened from the onset of the, I'll put it in quotes, attacks, because it was no doubt it was an inside job. I've been saying that ever since I've been on this show and on many other shows. The September Clues video actually makes a point of showing the anomalies of a TV producer's wife. Why would they call up the wife of a TV producer who's at home or, you know, living in some plush apartment someplace? And they made a lot of mistakes. They said things that they didn't intend to say. They deviated from the script. And then they tried to cover their tracks. And then that evening, the story had already changed. That night of 9/11/2001, Tom Brokaw on the NBC Nightly News did a story about the attacks, and then he showed a big explosion going off over Kabul, Afghanistan. Now, who had the camera ready to film this explosion? It was a gigantic explosion that occurred. The sky turned bright orange in the middle of the night. And, of course, they had to associate that with the event, too, to plant the seed in the subconscious mind that we were going to go to war with Afghanistan and Iraq, and that we were going to hunt down Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein. And of course, did they really get either one? You know, it's pretty much accepted in intelligence circles and amongst researchers and talk shows that bin Laden died in December of 2001. So they kept this ruse going on for years. They have to have a bogeyman out there that everybody should be in fear of. And then the guy that they arrested, they supposedly dug him out of a hole in the ground. And they show a doctor with a tongue blade looking at his teeth. And you can see that that's not Saddam Hussein. It's a double that they used. So the guy that they allegedly hung was not Hussein. This was just another psyop. Just send him someplace. Probably send him to the Dubai or the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, who knows. Maybe to some island someplace. Or maybe he's staying with the Bushes in Caldwell, Texas. But you could see that they made those errors, and they certainly put their foot in their mouth as to what they were going to do. They all knew it. The media all knew this. Yeah. You tell me, who was standing on a hillside in Afghanistan ready to take a picture of an explosion that was going to be shown to the American people the night of 9/11?
Yeah, to make that first link. That's what they do. They bring things in subliminally and juxtapose them to relate them like that. It was funny watching some of the coverage of 9/11 and on CNN, 15 seconds after the second airplane hit the tower, their eyewitness was Eric Shawn, and he was an expert on terrorism, and he had witnessed the second airplane and how it just went right inside the building, and he was saying, oh, how this indicated that there must be a terrorist organization behind this. And on screen, on CNN, while they were interviewing him, they list his areas of expertise. And the bottom one was the hunt for bin Laden. It's so funny when you see it in hindsight, because a lot of news coverage, when it occurs, it passes by so quickly that you don't notice a lot of things. But when you know more afterwards and you look back at their coverage, it's like it's a farce. It was so funny, Eric Shawn, you know, 15 seconds after the second airplane. And I could see when I saw their coverage that they had these key witnesses who tried to establish certain points, like, for instance, that the airplanes just flew right into the building and disappeared from view, as though that's conceivable that could happen in the way mm-hmm. it happened.
Twice.
And they prime people. They're very clever. They're very clever at their deception.
But
I emailed Simon Schack, the editor of the September Clues series, and mm-hmm. I got an email back from him. Can I read some of that?
Sure, go ahead.
He said, I found your article and forensic analysis of September Clues most articulate and acute. By and large, it certainly meets with my full approval as to the overall interpretation of many of the many human behavioral aspects I strive to highlight in my research documentary. I'm obviously very pleased with your comprehensive analysis of my documentary, as it is just the sort of peer review I was hoping would emerge in support of my long-standing research. Then he goes on, this is very interesting, he says, however, it would appear you have stopped short of looking into the full and updated research findings as published on my website, which is www.septemberclues.info. In the last 2 years or so, and with the help of several research colleagues, we have determined beyond any reasonable doubt that the alleged 3,000 victims of the day were, by and large, if not all, fictitious identities generated by a digital database. And then I went to his site, and I mean, here's another whole aspect of that event of that day. How many of these people really were killed or murdered on that day? I mean, now it seems established that there were no airplanes, so all the people who were supposed to be airplane victims, those disappear. But now he's claiming that even the people who supposedly died in the towers, he's been showing on his website. You look at all the pictures of these people, and you see all this kind of video fakery and forgery again.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, were you aware of his? That was new to me. Like, it was, oh my goodness, you mean, I mean, in a way, this would be a really good thing if there were only, you know, a few victims of that day instead of the 3,000 we were led to believe.
Well, I picked out a couple of the victims, and I did some research. Now, one guy, his name is Levine, or Lewin. Daniel Lewin is how they wrote his name. And all the New York papers had his name listed as Daniel C. Lewin, L-E-W-I-N. Well, there was a memorial service for him at MIT, and he was part of the Akamai Technologies scam that they ran. This is a multi-billion dollar scam that was part of 9/11. I found myself digging up SEC documents looking for this guy. So that's where my research led me, and I found that he was a member of Sayeret Mactal. He was trained at the Technion University in Haifa and IBM Haifa. And he was doing the computer algorithms to pull off the financial fraud that occurred.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So he's a real person, but he showed up in Houston, Texas, and in Washington, D.C., working for a company called Homeland Security Investments. He's on the board of that organization in Washington. He's got two addresses in Washington and at least two addresses in Houston. Of course.
And there had been a memorial for him?
Yes. F. Tom Layton, his associate, who's a mathematics instructor at MIT, was a business partner. They were the two major shareholders of this company. Now, there was a shift of 3.18% of the 10,750,000 some shares that Lewin owned. By the way, he changed his name to Levine in Houston, Texas, and in Washington. And guess what? His parents' last name is Levine. Isn't that interesting? So the name Lewin was made up for the story, and his real name is Levine.
Oh, yeah.
Daniel Lewin and Daniel Levine both went to school in Colorado and then studied in Israel. That's fantastic odds that would occur and both be involved in 9/11. So that was
you
one.
You also, Don, you mentioned you tracked down, who was that lady, Olson?
Barbara Olson.
The wife of the senator who was supposed to have made the heroic telephone call. And
That was Ted Olson. He was the Solicitor General for the United States. Okay. And she was a former CNN anchor. There were all kinds of stories about her. But in my opinion, she's in Houston, Texas. Also, her sister is a councilwoman there.
Yeah.
And one only need to look up her maiden name to find her. These are the types now. The Todd Beamers of the world, you know, Let's Roll.
Oh, yeah.
And many of those other characters, those were, I came to the same conclusion. I was unaware that Simon Shack was actually doing that research. I'm really heartened to hear that.
Yeah, when I looked through his page, because he sent me the link, I thought of you right away because of your agility with, you know, detecting video fraud and photographic fraud. And he has an excellent sight. He has these pictures, like dozens and dozens of pictures, and showing the forgeries and such. I'm sure you'd enjoy it. Yeah, it's at www.septemberclues.info.
Yes, and I recommend
that video. I didn't know he had gone in that direction, and I'd never heard anyone claim that maybe there were just very few victims on that day.
Yeah,
Even also, he's claiming some of these pictures of the falling men.
The people who were jumping from the windows, you mean?
Yeah, that some of those are faked.
Yeah, you notice the pictures got very blurry when that occurred. There was a heck of a lot of video fraud that went on.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to say no one died, because it was obvious that many, many people died even after the event, the people that were involved in the cleanup, and even some of the dogs that they used to sniff through the rubble. All these people were coming down with different sorts of respiratory ailments and cancer and radiation exposure. That was not a normal event. And you hit the nail on the head when you said that they had staged witnesses. They do this for every false flag event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the witnesses that that they had for the Tucson shooting, false flag. Same thing. When you start looking up the addresses of the participants, you find that they have the same synchronicities as Flight 3407, the flight that Beverly Eckert was killed on a couple of years ago. I did a series of shows with Dr. K on that. And all the people who were claiming they lived in Clarence Center actually had addresses in Buffalo, New York, and Akron, Ohio. The odds of that are staggering. But,
I'm not sure I understand. This is when the plane went down Buffalo with Beverly Eckert on. And were you saying that the people killed in the airplane?
What I'm saying is the people who were witnesses saying that they saw the plane had ice on it at 10:30
at night.
You know. Like, you can't tell if a plane's got ice on it 10:30 in the morning, let alone 10:30 at night. And a couple of people described it coming down as a fireball. And, of course, we know that they used a remote device to disable it and to cause it to explode. Beverly Eckert was suing the federal government over the loss of her son.
Had met with Obama 2 days before she was murdered.
Yes.
Yeah.
And many other people who just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time went as well. Some famous musicians from Chuck Mangione's group. I can't remember the name of the lady who was Beverly Eckert's traveling companion, but she was an activist of sorts too.
Mm-hmm.
And, They will murder many people just to take out one.
Yeah.
They admit that. But the point I'm making is that the synchronicities of these witnesses, all being from the same place, showing the same addresses in different parts of the country, are staggering. The odds of that happening are 7 billion to 1. And yet they all have addresses in both towns. So it shows that they're part of an organization.
Yeah, once you're awakened to it, it's funny. I find now, like, I can just see through the media when I turn on the TV. It's almost like a joke, almost. I mean, it's so tragic. But I remember after I woke up, I watched a shooting in Montreal at the college, Dawson College, unfold on TV. And I could just see by watching the TV as it occurred that it was faked. because the witnesses, I could see they were staged. And in that case also, I think the shooter outside the college wasn't the person who ended up being labeled the shooter and who ended up dead. I think what they do sometimes is they have an operative who does the shooting, and then at some point they do a little switch around and they end up with some other dead victim, which is what I think happened in Montreal. And again, in Montreal, it was the same old. They wanted to get new laws against semi-automatic weapons in Canada, and so they staged one of these events. And within a year, they proudly marched out their new laws. You know, it's so funny. And you know, by the conservative government who claimed to be tough on crime. It's such a joke because the government itself is so criminal. You know, they would all be serving life in prison if the public knew what all their crimes were. Just like your Congress and government in the United States. I mean, you know, so many people have behaved in a treasonous way, completely engaged in criminal racketeering and accessories to murder and, you know, accessories to planning, you know, the poisoning of the American people. Our politicians and these elites are just guilty of so many crimes against the American people and in my case, in Canadian people.
Yeah, the hijacking of privately owned corporations or corporations on the stock market. The raiding of the banks, the mortgage fraud. I mean, think of how many people have lost their homes due to this fraud that's occurring. Because this is just about them stealing money. It's not about them concerned about making money. They're stealing it. And they're putting people out on the street. And they have no compunction about doing that. Now, what is in the minds of those people that have been thrown? And this is millions of people, Christopher. How many of those people do you think really realize what's going on now that they're out on the street and they have no place to live? Literally.
In a general way, I think there's likely a lot of resentment against the bankers, but I don't think many of them really grasp how intentionally this was done. And this was planned decades ago. I don't know. Do you think many of them really realize it?
I don't think they do, to tell you the truth. No, because you would be hearing, you would have, I don't know how many million it is, 20 or 30 million people maybe, marching on Washington with their families, surrounding the building and not letting them out. I mean, you know, they can bring out their army and their navy and their air force and marines and throw smoke bombs at these people and shoot rubber bullets at them. But if they really knew what was going to happen, it wouldn't faze them at all. You see, they would go after them until they were hung, which is what you do to traitors. That's what's in the Constitution, you know. I'm not suggesting people do that, but if they really understood, because that's the big shock of their life, you see, being without a home, not having a stable family.
Yeah, it's huge. It's tragic for these people. You know, they work for so many years to build up wealth in the family and provide for their children. And then, you know, a lot of people are older and it's taken away from them. And later point in life, there's no jobs to turn to, you know, other than menial jobs.
Yeah.
It's terrible. And it's been going on for so long. I look back now and there were 20 to 30,000 Canadian farmers who lost their farms to these multinationals back to the 60s, 70s, and 80s in Canada. In Western Canada, tens of thousands of farmers lost their farms. And, you know, Monsanto was the biggest player in the whole thing. And I don't know, there's just no justice, like absolutely no justice. I'm a double Libra, so I have a very strong feeling of importance of justice, and I feel so outraged by what's been done and is being done. That's what I pray for when I pray to the Lord, you know, to restore justice on this planet, bring these people to justice, and call them before the public to answer for their crimes, and not just let them, you know, hide behind an anonymity or secret hearings. These people need to be publicly exposed for what they did.
Mm-hmm. And people wonder why aren't the courts doing anything? Why is there no law enforcement? Why is there no? Well, the law enforcement works as agents. They're like the security guards for this corrupt cabal.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they are.
Yeah, you can tell when the more people someone's murdered, when they come to Canada, the more the RCMP go out to protect them. Like if you have a mass murderer like George Bush out there, there'll be hundreds of RCMP to protect him. Or Henry Kissinger comes, there'll be hundreds of police to protect him. And that's the role of the police, is they protect these criminal elites. They don't serve the people. And it's so tragic because I believe the majority of people who become police or go into the military, they go in meaning to serve their community and serve their country, and they don't realize the deception that's fostered upon them. Like, this is tragic. How many, you look back over the last 50 years and how many young American men and women have died in these wars. Like, there was over 50,000 in Vietnam. Well, maybe those 50,000 Americans would have liked to have had a life instead of losing it to support Henry Kissinger and associates and all the war crimes committed in that part of the world. You know, and all the time, the people that have been deceived through the media and Hollywood, all Jew-owned, and, you know, Zionist Jew-owned. It's so disgraceful. It's beyond comprehension.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, you're mentioning Vietnam. I think it's over 57,000 casualties. And then there are all the MIAs, the missing in action, people who were taken to work the drug businesses. Some of them ended up in Bosnia. Some of them stayed in Vietnam or were taken to China or Russia, maybe even Cambodia and Laos. And of course, we were in Cambodia and we were in Laos, and they lied to us and told us that we weren't.
Yeah.
You see? And the murder.
Henry Kissinger was responsible for bombing Laos, even before, and the Senate was kept in the dark about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one lie after another. How many times do people have to be confronted with these lies until they realize that it's nothing but an endless stream of lies, all designed to make money? Then there's the pension funds, okay, and the public funds. You know, they have the unions under their thumb, the unions pushing for certain benefits to be reenacted, but they've destroyed the 401k investments that people have made. All of their pension funds have been stolen. Medicaid, the monies have been stolen. Social Security. And the government workers in many states got IOUs. Now, you don't hear much about that anymore. What are they doing, just printing more money and selling off more land to foreign countries to make up for all the stealing of the bond revenues that were due, the dividends on these 30-year bonds that the Chinese and the Saudis invested in? It's just lie after lie after lie after lie.
Yeah.
More corruption. And they get in front of everybody with a straight face and tell us the economy's looking good, people are doing well, as they're trying to blackmail everybody into getting public health insurance and paying and people paying for people who are in the country illegally. you know, it's the insanity just doesn't stop. And I'm going to go off on a rant, and I don't want to do that tonight.
Well, it's also, and it only looks insane because if you look at their motives, like I understand the Club of Rome back 50 years ago in the D'Avignon report, that's what they determined they wanted to bring down the United States because it's the wealth and strength of the United States made it the main obstacle to their new world order. So it's been very systematically done. Like, in a way, these people, they're psychopathic, but what they've done is very, very ingenious and kind of beyond the comprehension of most people who are brain dead from sitting in front of the TV for so long.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at the psychological and the metaphysical aspects of what's going on, if you would, because I think I could most benefit the listening audience by hearing your expertise in that area. Somewhere along the line, man got out of touch. The human being got out of touch with his true essence, the soul. And the soul has a purpose, and it's really what life is all about. Ultimately, that's what we're left with. When we leave the body, you know, we go to another plane, and there's a determination made as to what we're going to do next, what the next phase of our existence is going to be. If we look at that as a basic premise for what happens to an individual, then we should be focusing all our intention on fulfilling that requirement while we're living.
Yeah. It's interesting how they most often describe what happens at death as the weighing of the heart.
Yes.
And this goes back to ancient Egypt, that it's the quality of the heart is said to determine your afterlife fate.
Yes. And now, if this New World Order cause, Christopher, was so noble, why would it have to be secret, looking at this from a psychological standpoint?
Well, they know it's not noble, and it's highly deviant, and plus criminal. I mean, these people have committed so many crimes against humankind, and war crimes, and poisoning, and
against nature,
so
and against
they need to hide what they're doing. If people realize what they have done, I mean, as you say, they would be hung. You know, they would have been in earlier times when that American spirit was still alive. I can see why they've had to keep all these things secret. You know, by way of deception, they wage war, and that's what they've done.
Well, yeah, I said they would be hung, and that's if they could wait long enough for somebody to find enough rope. You know, they may not wait that long, and it's not going to have to be people who are evicted from their homes, whose homes have been foreclosed and they've been robbed of all the equity that they have in their home and their belongings and the peace and the tranquility that is a constitutional guarantee, the pursuit of happiness. You know, none of this stuff really means anything anymore. Yeah, to these clowns. I don't think it ever did anyway. But
it's so unspeakable. Like, these people have pushed their inoculation so much that you now have like over 500,000 autistic children in the United States. Like, look at that tragedy. And those parents, then they know the inoculations cause their children's problems, and they just face denial, and they never gain justice. And all those people now, it's said that one out of two families in the States is going to have a parent with Alzheimer's. You know, you get sprayed for 15 years with aluminum and strontium and heavy metals, and we got a population now that most people will experience Alzheimer's or other mental disorders in their old age. You know, it's just unspeakable. I mean, every aspect of our society, there's just no limit to their degradation, their inhumanity. It's like they're another species, and you know, I think it really is something very alien behind this all. These people aren't normal people in a sense.
That's at the heart of it for sure.
Yeah, and I think they're really traumatized as children too, because the elites go to special schools and in a way they're subject to even worse conditioning type experiences that deadens them and breaks their spirit as a young child, and it crystallizes this false egoism in them. And I think, like, emotionally they're damaged. They're emotionally, I think the elites are at the age of a 5 or 6 year old child, a spoiled child.
Well, they also have fractured identities too. I mean, you know,
fractured identity. Yeah, it's kind of splitting off of the emotional life from the mind and the actions.
Yeah, it's, you know, this assault has gone on against nature. They certainly are targeting children. They have for many years, as you already pointed out. I've got a song I want to play. This addresses this issue of the children, and it addresses the issue of the plight of the people under this corruption. This is something that I heard few months ago, and this is Carrie Underwood. It's called Temporary Home. Listen to this. That's if it will play now without the commercial. Well, my luck, it's gonna give me a hard time now. Well, I'm going to try to reload it here, but we can keep talking here for a moment, Christopher.
It's interesting. You do hear quotes of these elites, too, saying that they sell their souls. I was just reading an interesting book on secret societies, and the quote, like, they sell their souls to Lucifer for wealth and status in this life. And I think these are people who don't have that feeling of the heart and the sense of divinity in their life. And then I think a lot of the populace, because of the way we've been brought up, people don't attain their souls. They become automatons in a way.
Yes. Okay, I've got it now. I think it'll
got
play.
Got the song great. Good.
Okay.
Six years old, a little too used to being alone. Another new mom and dad, another school, another house that'll never be home. When people ask him how he likes this place, he looks my temporary home. It's not where I belong. Windows and rooms that I'm passing through. This is just a stop on the way to where I'm going. I'm not afraid because I know this is my temporary. Looking for a job. hospital bed. The room is filled with people he loves. And he whispers, don't cry for me. I'll see you all someday. He looks up and says, I can see God's face. Everybody's outside.
I love you.
I love you too. This is my temporary home. It's not where I belong. Windows and rooms that I'm passing through. This was just a stop on the way to where I'm going. I'm not afraid because I know this was my temporary home. This is our temporary.
You know, Christopher, I think that's an absolutely beautiful song and well sung, well produced, and it delivers the message that we've been talking about.
Yeah, this is our temporary home. I really believe that. And, you know, I do believe that life is about attaining our soul. And, you know, I'd rather live in truth than imagine being of these people and in a way so fearful of being exposed for what they really are. I don't know. I imagine having to wake up every day. Like, I talked to a person in the media once and I said, you must be ashamed of what you do. And this woman said, we are. And I think so many of them are. Like, they go out there as pathological liars, deceiving their fellow countrymen every day, and that's their job. It's like these people, you would think they don't have any objective being shame or divine conscience, which Gurdjieff sees as so important, that a person has to have an awakened conscience. And these people don't. It's very tragic, and you know, we have to attain our soul. So, you know, at least we live in truth and want to bring the truth out. And what we do, we struggle for the betterment of humankind. And I just hope that those among us around the world, that we can take our countries back.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, all the years you studied psychology and metaphysics. I mean, you got into the nitty gritty of the heart. I mean, you've written about it in the Heart Doctrine. And not that I agree with everything that Blavatsky said or Gurdjieff, but there he to me he made more sense than she did. To tell you the truth, that's just my personal feeling because I know of her commitment to this evil. Blavatsky, I'm speaking about. She had a secret mystical background and they used her for that. She wrote the truth when she wrote. But you see, all of her teaching, all of her work had been applied to the evil side, just like Tesla. Tesla's inventions would have saved the world from all of this, but they had to weaponize everything. and sequester it and repress it, as if somehow the universe only speaks to one person, you see. We've got everyone else in under control. We didn't have Tesla under control, so we have to take everything that he created and lock it up until we're ready to use it for our purposes. And me, in the meantime, we're working on controlling everybody. We don't have to worry about anybody knowing God or anyone seeing the truth. We don't have to worry about the truth finding them. But that's really, that's probably the biggest secret, is the whole thing is a lie. That's the big secret that the Masons don't tell their lower members.
Well, I don't think Blavatsky was on the dark side. In fact, in her time, she invoked the wrath of the Jesuits who lined up against her, and they tried to defame her, the Society for Psychical Research, by claiming she was a fraud. And her movement of theosophy, which she started, in a way it was hijacked after her death by Annie Besant, who was a Fabian socialist in England, and Charles Ledbetter, who was a pedophile priest.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, I think Blavatsky was a very noble woman and had, like, she envisioned not a world government, but a group of conscious people who cared for humankind and helped guide the human race, but not in the way that these elites would do it. So I think Blavatsky's been misrepresented. And the teaching of theosophy, at least as it was originally formulated by her, and it was only over time that her movement, like Leadbeater, he was a pedophile, and he went to India, and he spotted Krishnamurti. I'm sure you've heard of Krishnamurti.
Oh, sure, yes.
Yeah, at one point, Leadbeater spotted Krishnamurti on a beach in India, and I think he got an erection, which he took as a sign from God that this was his new world leader. And he brought him back to England with him. And they set up what they called the Order of the Star. And Krishnamurti was supposed to be this new world teacher. But then Krishnamurti walked away from the whole thing and wouldn't assume the role and rejected it. And so their Order of the Star fell apart. But
yeah,
but anyway, I guess my main point was, like, I think Blavatsky was a very noble-minded woman, and I think it's really afterwards that her teachings were distorted and such. Like, you know, Blavatsky's main book, The Secret Doctrine, that was the book most valued by Hitler and feared by Hitler. Because when Hitler rose to power, he jailed all the theosophists in Germany.
Yeah, I may be wrong about my assessment, but I noticed that they attribute a lot of her work to their cause, and so if that was all done posthumously, then I stand corrected in that way. But they quote in their rituals. So.
I mean, certainly, like, I know in one of Alex Jones's movie, like, they show the secret doctrine, and this is kind of one of the evil societies of the elites. But I would say at this time I'm the world's expert on the volume one of the secret doctrine. And all it has to do with this is creation physics and metaphysics. And in my book, I show its relationships to modern science. And it's all about creation science. It's got nothing to do with being demonic or satanic or anything like that. Like, I see absolutely nothing in Volume 1 or in any of her other writings. I've never seen anything which would support the psychopathic agenda of the world's elites. But they did honor Blavatsky because she was recognized as this kind of profound occult scholar. I mean, Manly Hall described The Secret Doctrine as, quote, undoubtedly the magnus opus of the literature of the modern world. But also, they've kept Theosophy and Blavatsky's teachings. I don't think you can go to any university in North America and be exposed to it. Nor Gurdjieff. No one teaches. See, it's just like in the energy sector. They obscured Tesla's work and hid it from the public. And I would say in psychology, they prevented people from being exposed to these real esoteric teachings like Gurdjieff and Blavatsky and others. And instead, they promulgated, like the Protocols of Zion say, they want to promote Darwinianism, existentialism, and Marxism. And that's what they did. And that works like Blavatsky have been kept out of the educational system and away from the public.
Well,
but
yeah,
anyway, I mean, she was, you know, recognized by the Masonic order and such. But she was an isolate more, and I don't really see her as having been on the dark side, even though her writings have been. You know, attracted the attention of people like Hitler, also Albert Einstein.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like energy. Energy is neither good nor bad. It's just when it's put to an application that it takes on the characteristic. So I understand your point. It's well taken. I'm not going to change my mind. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, I'm open to, you know, I study her book. When I studied it, I tried to just take her book in and of itself, like what is said in the book, irrespective of what her background really was.
Yeah.
But I've never, I know she's one of my heroes. You know, she was an amazing woman in her time. She traveled around the world like two or three times on her own and crossed the United States and covered wagons and lived in with the Indians in Mexico and South America and Tibet. She was a remarkable woman and, you know, produced dozens of large volumes of books and papers.
Mm-hmm.
Like she was a remarkable person.
Now, you mentioned Jiddu Krishnamurti, and I'm quite familiar with his work and his lectures and his writings, and I've actually even spoken to the society that is promoting his work about getting some of the work reprinted and out there. I think he would have been selected for the role that you described because of his ability to bring people together. But he was doing genuine work. If I'm not mistaken, he spent 70 years basically bringing people together to talk about solutions to problems, agreeing to disagree, and then working out the disagreements so that there was a collective understanding and a positive movement forward and upward and outward that got rid of problems instead of pretending like they're not there or just blaming them on someone else. But taking responsibility. I think the key word in all his talks and all his teaching was the word responsibility. The individual. Do you want to comment on that? I know we hadn't planned.
Well, I think there's a lot of very valuable things in Krishnamurti's writing. You know, he seems to see the mind, people's wrong ideas and thinking as a cause of our problems. But in ways, Krishnamurti rejected the occult or esoteric tradition, and I think in ways he threw the baby out with the bathwater. And in a way, I think what he did was a disservice to Theosophy and to the ancient wisdom teachings, because in a way he was very intellectually centered. Even if you hear him, there's something about it that he doesn't have a certain emotional quality to him. So I have my reservations about Krishnamurti. I think he was quite traumatized by what was done to him by Leadbeater as a young boy.
You may be right. He is sort of dry as a speaker in a way, but if you're into listening to truth, there's a lot of truth in what he says. certainly it's worth the effort. And there weren't many people going around. I mean, you had Gandhi sitting down meditating and walking around, and he was encouraging people to follow a path of nonviolent resistance. But where did that get us? As soon as he was gone, they were back at everybody, hammering everybody again, yeah, psychologically and physically, with all the stresses of this illusory society that they've created. It at least Krishnamurti was willing to face the problem as the problem that it was, regardless of what the problem was. There was a way for people to work these things out. And he was the reason for doing it, in my estimation, this is my chance to defend him now. I think it was just a simple, pragmatic way of saying, look, we keep doing the same things over and over, and that's not fixing the problem. Or pretending the problem is not there, or ignoring the problem somehow is going to make it go away. Those were the comments and questions he would make about whatever it was that was being discussed. And I think that is lacking, because you have people just saying, no, we're going to do this, and because I'm in charge. And everything is trickle down from that point on. You know, we give this false allegiance and reverence for no good scum, really. These people could care less about who lives and who dies today or tomorrow, and they're making life and death decisions all day long, just to fight for their own survival. So, anyway, I thought I'd make that point.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of valuable teachings in Krishnamurti. I mean, I valued his work, and, you know, there are aspects to his work I didn't appreciate because his rejection of the occult traditions, and he's kind of saying there is no path, you know, it's seeking the truth, there is no path, but and in a way, I think that's true, but in other ways, I think there is a path, and there are traditions that have helped people attain enlightenment and realization through their life.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
But he's another person whose works are kind of disappearing. I don't see, they seem to have produced a lot of kind of New Age philosophizing, and the New Age movement is very different from like the esoteric tradition. And I think in modern times, people don't realize that. All they've had is this channeling and kind of New Age pablum. The New World Order has kind of promoted that as part of their orientation towards a one world religion. And I think they've had to hide the esoteric side of the world's religions.
Yeah, it's called mind control.
Yeah, exactly,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you have that in the traditional religious books. You have mind control worked in there because they've taken the sacred texts and twisted them to fit the agenda that they have. Mm-hmm. And one can pick up the Bible or any other holy book and read it and say, oh, see what's happening in the world? This has been prophesied. Well, you know, they do that on CNN too, don't they? They do the same thing. Doesn't mean they're always right, but they're following the program. They're following the talking points, the agenda, the script. And there is truth in the Bible, but you have to read it with discernment, because there's a lot of stuff that's in there that masks over the pedophile nature and the murderous nature of the very person whose name came on the most revered edition. King James. He had
Now we realize that the elites, I think, have also distorted the teachings of, I believe, both the Old and New Testament.
Yes.
And there's another area of deception. I don't think that we've really been allowed to know the true Christ story. And I think if we could search the Vatican there and go through their library, we might find, my feeling is that we'd find out that Christ performed far greater number of miracles and such than we've been told, and that there was a much more extensive literature documenting his miracles and such, but this has been held from us. I mean, we know that there's supposed to be 100,000 volumes in the Vatican Library which have been withheld from the public. So what is in those volumes?
There's a very good book that Dr. K wrote. I don't know if you're familiar with it. I'm pretty sure I have it on my website, too, on my books page. It's called The Secret Doctrine.
Oh.
The Secret Scripture. Excuse me, I misspoke. Secret Scripture. Oh. And this is translated from the ancient Aramaic, and it describes how Jesus prayed, and every prayer he said began with a thanks to the Father. He thanked him in advance for everything, and for what he already considered was done. This was just a communication. It was like sending a thank you note to the Creator. But it's a very, very deep book. And according to Dr. K and the research that he discovered, Barnabas was a scribe who had photographic memory and could verbatim write down everything that he said in his talks. And it's certainly a supplement to the Holy Bible to read this book.
Wow, I'll have to order a copy of that.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I did a review on that, and that is on my website. The link to his page is there. Any of the listeners that want to find that, just go to directlightproductions.com, click on books, and look for The Secret Scripture. Very, very well-written book.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Dr. K's Wrongly Blamed, which is kind of a shocking book. That was the first book that really put it together for me, is just seeing how all of these terrorist activities, they all go back to the same people. And it's not Muslims, it's the Mossad over and over again. And to think of what supposed Christians in the Western world, how we've invaded these Muslim countries. And it's so disgraceful what became of the Christian church.
And he located many of these so-called hijackers. He located...
Did you ever watch the Italian documentary called Zero?
No, I haven't.
Oh, that was an excellent expose of 9/11. And the fellow started out with the pictures and listing of all 18 hijackers up on the board. And then he started going through them one by one. And, about 8 of them turned up alive. And by the end, there was like no names left there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was 19 hijackers.
Yeah, 19, yeah.
And one of them was a pilot for Tunisian Airways, and was flying overseas.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could take the 19 pictures that they showed us, and say that this was a new baseball team that they had put together, and everybody would come to see these guys play, okay? Yeah, or you could tell them that they're the next astronauts to go up on the space shuttle or to go to the International Space Station, and everybody would believe that. They could create any story they want. All they did was show pictures of people walking through a turnstile. You notice there was no one else standing there? There was no one at a ticket counter. There were no security guards. There were no other passengers, just these people walking through the turnstile. No one thought that that was strange at Logan Airport with the thousands of people that are there all day long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in hindsight, you know, that's what we were shown. We were shown those images. Oh, there they are. There's the hijackers. They got them on film. You see?
Yeah.
They showed images, and they were phony images. We know that now, don't we?
Yeah.
We know that. They weren't still pictures. They were moving pictures, but they were artificial. We had an artificial android. He had an android woman in a bra and panties sitting in an airport, an alleged TSA incident. This was a robot, Christopher, sitting in a wheelchair.
Oh.
Okay? If you look at it carefully, you can see it's moving like a robot. And they have a teen musical act in Japan with a robot that comes out and dances with four real Japanese girls dancing in the background, and she's singing and dancing. It's all pre-recorded, and it's a robot. But this is now what the kids are worshiping. You see, they're trying to turn everyone into complete automatons.
Exactly.
And they use imagery for that reason. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, that's what Gurdjieff emphasizes a lot. He says, like, modern culture is people becoming more and more mechanical, robotic, automatons, and they do it through the educational system and the media, and they've developed it into an art based on decades of research and experimentation. You know, that's always been one of their aims, is to undermine belief in divinity or in God, and to undermine belief in religion. And they've done that.
Yes, I agree. I brought the point up. Of course I agree with myself. Well, Christopher,
anyway,
we're about out of time.
Do you think you see any positive signs, Don, in what's happening in the world? Any cracks appearing in their armor?
Oh, yeah. Every time I do a show, regardless of who the guest is on the show, there's cracks opening up, okay?
Yeah.
And the gas is leaking out. And it's that stinky methane gas.
Yeah.
Yes, I see, you know, I'm a Sag. I'm the eternal optimist.
Oh, yeah.
And I have undying faith, okay?
Yeah.
I know, I've seen the heavenlies, okay? I've seen the Lord Jesus Christ twice.
Wow.
In near-death experiences. Talked to him once and just watched him the second time. And what was happening on Earth is astounding compared to what I saw. But I can tell you that there was a reason why I was brought back twice, not just once, twice.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I became an expert on cults.
Oh.
Okay. The second time I came back with the knowledge that I was going to stand up to this beast that likes to call itself the Illuminati, the New World Order, the Committee of 300, the Company, and all the other names that they have for themselves, because they can't be honest and truthful and tell the people who they really are and what their intentions are, because they know that no one would go for it. So they have to use trickery and sleight of hand and deception and corruption and murder of every kind to pull it off. So I know where I'm going, okay? I have no fear of death. I have no fear of death. Yes. And I know others that have no fear of death. Mm-hmm. We've come to a profound understanding and have accepted the responsibility for fulfilling the mission that we took an oath to fulfill. It's hard, as difficult as that is at times. And I know that I'm not going to give up, and I know many others, many are guests on my show, many have their own talk shows, or they're journalists, they're researchers, or they're teachers, or even religious leaders or religious teachers. Some are just prayer warriors. Some are just ordinary people out there wanting to see a good life for themselves, for their children, their grandchildren, and on and on. They want to leave a legacy here of sanity and goodness, not destruction. They didn't come here to destroy the earth, and they didn't come here to watch somebody else destroy it.
Yeah.
Okay? So I know in my heart that there are people, to answer your question, Christopher, there are people who are going to wake up and are going to assist in this. But I think we already have sufficient numbers to cause that to happen. There were over 5% of the planet awakened to the problems and the need to bring about solutions. And while we're doing that, they just keep doing the same thing they've always been doing. And we just have to recognize it as that. It's like that bee, that hornet, that yellow jacket that keeps pestering you at the family picnic. You know, it just keeps coming back for more. You can swat it and swat it and swat it. It's going to come back again. But eventually they go away. Eventually they move on to something else. And, you know, if you contemplate the size, the immensity, and I can't comprehend how large the universe is. I really can't. I don't have the concept. I haven't flown on a spaceship, so I can't tell you what it's like to fly faster than light speed. But I know, just in my imagination, if there are a trillion planets in our galaxy alone, how far does our galaxy go? How far is that? And can one reach that, the end of the galaxy, in a lifetime?
Well, I believe we can in our higher being bodies.
Yeah.
Gurdjieff has this concept of how we can, if we attain our mental bodies, we can become immortal within the limits of the solar system. And like yourself, I think, like, I believe we live multiple lives, and we are here at this time in human history to serve a purpose. And you know, the crunch is upon us, and I feel I'm like yourself also. Since I woke up, it's like I can't go back to normal life. I can't go back to sleep, not while this is going on. You know, we owe it to our children. We owe it to our grandchildren. In the Native tradition, they say that we're responsible for 7 generations. And I think, well, what have we left for our children at this time? You know, we're not going to have 2 generations unless we turn this around.
Well, if you just look at the present generation and say, what have we left for ourselves in real time?
Yeah.
You know, the problem rears its ugly head right away. Now, we're not going to get help from the people who are asleep. That's a given, but we don't have to allow that weight. We don't have to bear that weight on our conscience, because those people are fulfilling a purpose too. Just like the evil ones are fulfilling a purpose.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's all part of God's story. I have to see it in that light. Boy, God writes a story. I mean, what's happening on the earth now is so beyond anything ever portrayed in any movie or book. It's unbelievable what's happened. Like, it's mind-boggling. And I just have to see it as God's story, and we're in that, and we have to be brave and see it through.
Yeah. So
I notice we're running quite late here. Seth is probably in the background. Okay, guys. So maybe I could I just give out my website, Don?
Oh, please do. I was going to ask you to do that before we say goodnight. So yes.
Yeah,
please.
It's www.0point.ca. And I'd encourage people, particularly, look at my article on fabled airplanes, and it has the links to the September Clues series. And also, I've been doing some writing on, like, a zero-point proposal for 2012, where we pursue the worldwide criminal investigation of the world elites, and kind of imagine if we could bring these people to justice around the world, we really would have a new age. There would be such wealth and abundance throughout the world, and that I'm trying to just get people to imagine this as a possibility, that there could be the restoration of justice on this planet. And
so
I think that this year is a very important year towards that. I see this as a turning year.
Mm-hmm. That will happen. And I, you know, I'm sort of answering your previous question again. Those that awaken to that fact will reap the rewards of that.
Yeah.
Of assisting that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're running scared. I'll tell you that. They're running scared. And pretty soon the media is not going to be able to hide it. But then again, it's time to change those faces too, or just shut it off. You know,
they've been complicit, and they need to be pursued. They need to be retired from the media, and the new generation of people should be against the law to deceive the public through the media. It should be grounds for dismissal.
Well, it's fraud, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah,
it's all,
plus
it's
accessory to mass murder and many other crimes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Don. I appreciate your show. It is nice to be back with you.
Yeah, I'm going to have you on again this coming month, if you will.
I'm always available. Yeah,
accommodate us. I know you're busy, but I'll try to get you on a couple of times this coming month, because I want to get into these topics even more. There's quite a bit that we could discuss. Not that we didn't discuss anything important. There's just so much going on. But to bring some sanity and to show people that there are solutions to the world's problems, the people that have created them are not the answer. That's for sure. Christopher, I want to thank you for being on Evident Footprints, and I look forward to your next visit.
Thanks, Don. Thanks, BBS.
Folks, okay, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and our special guest tonight, Christopher Holmes, Ph.D. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and over at BBS Radio. I want to thank Seth Hendrick on the sound, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us tomorrow night when my special guest will be scientist-inventor Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.